that nature, that if the Holy Spirit leads you, then you certainly come down to the altar. And I just, a lot of needs were prayed about today, and if we just have to leave them in the hands of the Lord and trust that God knows best. Amen. All right. Well, this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in there, and hopefully many of you got some notes this morning. Looks like I ran out of them back there. We'll have to make some more copies. But over the past several weeks, going back about 3 weeks ago, we've been talking about really how to live this life to the fullest, how to please God when we are living our life. We went and spoke about how do you come up with your life priorities and the goals that you have in your life and surrendering to God. And, you know, it's very easy for us to allow the things that in this life that you and I are living to consume us, I think is how I put in your notes, to where this life, you know, is not just something that you're going along with, but things of this life, situations and circumstances in this life consume us, and then God finds himself on the back burner of our lives, kind of wondering, hey, when are you going to come back and spend some time with me? And, you know, when we look at the world in which we live in today, everything is, you know, just getting to the next thing to get to the next thing to get to the next thing. It's so fast-paced. It's moving along, and things are changing on a whim. You know, if you get a cell phone today, within 6 months, there's a brand new one that is out there. If you get a car, it doesn't take 8 months for there to be a brand new one that does all these other things that are better. The things on your job, the things in your life, your medical insurance is changing all the time, you know, from what I understand from some people. So it doesn't, you know, there's all these things that are changing, whether it's really things that affect your life or whether it's small things. It's a fast-paced society that we're living in today. And it's easy to get wrapped up in stuff. But oftentimes, you know, we catch ourselves being busy. We catch ourselves chasing after the wind, as the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, but we never catch anything. And you ever find yourself in that boat that you were really, really busy, but when you look back to take a survey of what you actually accomplished, wasn't much there? That is not the way God wants us to live our lives. God did not intend for us to just run around aimlessly, you know, staying busy, but never accomplishing anything in our life. He has a plan and he has a purpose for every single person in this room today and all of the people that are not here today. He has a plan and a purpose, and he wants you to be fulfilling that plan and that purpose in your life. And I think for us to kind of get a grasp on things, we've got to put our life circumstances in the proper perspective. And so for us this morning, we want to talk about living each day like it's your last. And you've heard that a lot, okay? You've heard that cliche. You heard it in a song. But living each day like it's your last, being eternally focused is what I want you to kind of look at. And before we get into that, let's read 1 Thessalonians 5 and the first three verses of that chapter. It says in verse 1, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." And so looking at that verse, I want to pair that up with John 14:3, where Jesus made us this promise. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." All right. And so we know, as Jesus was saying that you know I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what this verse is saying, I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you, as the King James says, unto myself, so that there you may be with me also. And what a promise that is for each and every one of us. And we've kind of talked about that over the past couple of weeks, that this world is not all we have to look forward to and all of those things. We know that Jesus is coming back, but in Thessalonians here, you know, Jesus is telling us that this time that he's going to come back is going to be like a thief in the night. It is going to happen like that. And Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica here, and he's trying to get them to really understand what's coming, to really be vigilant about what they're looking for. And in the previous couple of verses, if you go back in chapter 4, it's talking about that time in which, and we call it the rapture. You will not see that word in your Bible, okay? We preach on the rapture. We talk about the rapture. There's never a mentioning of the word rapture in your Bible. That means calling up the time in which Jesus is going to come. He's going to rapture the church. Where the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those of us that may still be alive are going to be caught up with Jesus in the air. And then the rapture of the church is going to happen at that time. And then that begins this process of end time things that are going to take place. And you get into the book of Revelation and all of that that we're not going to dive, you know, wholly into this morning. But I just want you to really ask yourself, and you think about what verse 3 says. There's going to be people during this time that have a false sense of security. And it says they're going to be saying peace and safety but destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape, is the analogy that he's given here. So this time that Jesus is going to come, anybody know when that's going to be, when he's going to return? Anybody got an answer? Anybody got a specific date, time, stamp, you know, month, day, year, all of that stuff? Uh-huh. We say soon. And I've always told people, when you study the Bible, they've been saying it's going to be soon for the past 2,000 years now, because that's the way the Bible is written for us, that Jesus said he has always called us to be ever watchful when he comes. He said, I'm not going to tell you the day or the hour. The day or the hour the Son of Man doesn't know. Only the Father, you know, knows that, the Bible tells us. So what does that mean for us? Jesus was preaching before he ever even left, and saying that the generation will not pass away until these things take place, so y'all need to be ready. That was 2,000 years ago, and we're still supposed to be ever vigilant and ready. So if he was saying, let's be ready, it's coming soon 2,000 years ago, we are 2,000 years closer to him coming. And so you ought to be more vigilant than they even were, you know, at that time, knowing that all these years have passed. I guess some people could say, oh, that means he's not coming. Okay. He keeps his promises now, so I don't look at it that way. I look at him and say, he could come at any moment. You know what? He may not come before I pass away, but I know death is coming. I know that there's going to be either two ways that I'm going to make it to heaven. Either breath is going to leave my body, and I'm going to pass away from this life to the next, or either Jesus Christ is going to come and rapture the church. All right? So either way, do you know the day that you'll die? What if, and this is bold in your notes, okay, and I really want you to think about this today. What if you knew that today was your last day? If today was the last day for death, or that Jesus was going to come in rapture. So I'm not talking about death in and of itself, but if you knew this is the last day that you're going to spend on earth, that either today you were going, tomorrow you would be dead, or tomorrow that Jesus Christ is going to rapture the church, how would you live today differently? Or would you? I want you to think about that. I give you a couple of scenarios in your notes. Would you spend more time with your family than you have been? Would you mend broken relationships where forgiveness has not been given yet, where you've been fighting with somebody? Would you seek to mend those fences there? Would you simply not have a care in the world at all? And you say, you know what? Who cares? I'm just going to go, you know, break every rule that's out there and live wild, because who cares? This is my last day. That's what the world likes us to believe. That's what you see in the movies, you know. I was thinking about this the other week, and I was watching, it's really one of my favorite movies, The Bucket List, with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. It's really a great movie. Huh? I've thought about this for years, because we had a lady in our church, and many of you have been here around here for a long time, remember Miss Dot Riles, okay? And Miss Dot Riles was around 98, I believe, when she passed away, about 7 years ago, I think it is. And I remember that she had this diagnosis of cancer, and they could do some things, but I remember her telling John, the former pastor, I'm not doing anything. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And to know the peace that you have in your life, to say, I'm ready. I've done the things that I need to do. I don't want to worry about all of this and holding on to this life anymore. She had a greater hope that was going on, and she had a calm and assurance and a peace about her. And to listen to her speak really changed a lot of things for me when I spoke to her. And so many people that I have spoken to, you know, afterwards, and you watch these different movies that give you these scenarios to where, what if you knew? You know, how would you spend your time? In the movie, The Bucket List, really, you have one person that's living and everything's crazy and wild, and that's Jack Nicholson's character, okay? But Morgan Freeman is kind of rooted a little bit deeper than that and really finds something. This is not a religious movie now, but he is a religious man in the movie, but really finds a deeper peace. And that, in turn, helps Jack Nicholson's character. And so, but you think about, well, I'm young, all right? So I look at life a little bit differently than other people that are up the ladder than me. And we take things for granted sometimes, but when you really put this world into perspective and you put this life into its proper perspective, what does all this stuff matter? All these things that you get chasing after the wind, how do you spend your days normally? Think about it for a moment. You spend your day and you spend your week with this idea that tomorrow will be here. And I'll do this tomorrow. I will spend time with my family tomorrow. I'll call that person tomorrow. I will send that person a card tomorrow. You know, I'm going to do whatever it is. And everything's always tomorrow or Monday, okay, or January 1st of next year when we make our New Year's resolutions. But one thing I taught my youth when I was youth pastor is that, and it blew some of their minds, tomorrow does not exist. And I remember having one said, what do you mean tomorrow does not exist? It's the next minute does not exist until it becomes the present, the here and now. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the next second in the life. And Jesus is telling us that I'm going to come back like a thief in the night. Some people are going to be surprised about that. Some people are going to be caught off guard. Are you going to be one of those people? When Jesus comes, say he comes the very next second before I get the sentence out of my mouth, are you ready for that? I'm not even speaking to those people that may not be saved. I'm speaking to those of us that are saved. Are we ready for him to catch us living life the way we're living it right now? Would he be proud of the way we're living our lives right now, how we're spending our time, how we're spending our money, how he gave a sacrifice of his entire life so that we could live, so that we could have eternity? And are we living our life worthy of that sacrifice? Am I living my life worthy of his sacrifice? So many things we go for. And folks, we get into deep depression sometimes, and I know that's a real thing. But we get into it because of worrying about things in this life that at the end of the day aren't going to matter. They're not going to matter. And I look at so many people in this church, learned a lot from just folks that have been in here. I find that, as I said earlier, the younger that we are, the more we take, you know, things for granted, and the more we just kind of do what we want to do. But the older that we are, certain things that used to be the end of the world, they just don't matter anymore. How can that be? How can it be that these little fights and bickerings and problems that we just don't speak to each other about for years, you know, all of that stuff bothers us so bad when we're young, but the closer we get to death's door, the more we put things in perspective, don't we? The more you look at it from a broader picture, you say, you know what, that doesn't matter. I'm not going to spend my time on that because I don't have enough time yet, enough time left. I'm going to do this. And so I think that that's kind of the way even us young people ought to look at things, because guess what? Jesus has told us it's not about whether you're 29 and life expectancy is in the 80s. It's about that Jesus Christ said, I can come at any moment. Whether you're 29, whether you're 80, whether you're 102, whether you're 5, it doesn't matter. We're not promised tomorrow. So our ages really do not matter. We have to be eternally focused, as I said, you know, in the title of this message. And I ask a question in your notes here. Why wait until we get close to the end to live our life with perspective and with purpose Why wait? Why does it take you to be 50 to realize you've wasted years? I made a commitment to the Lord a long time ago. I wasn't going to waste any time. Now, that doesn't mean I hadn't wasted any time, because I have. And I'm not done. I'm just coming down here because I got to get with you, okay? I don't want to just keep standing up here. There's younger people in here that I think I want to talk to. We don't have time to waste, folks. I'm 29 years old. I've gotten to where I am today because I made a commitment to the Lord that I wasn't going to wait until I'm 35 to really say, you know what, I want a family. And I want some normalcy to my life, and I want to make a difference. And I've heard so many people, there are people in this room, people that have been a part of this church that said, you know what, I wasted 50 years of my life before I started serving the Lord. My question to you today, that you hadn't got there, why wait? Why are we wasting time? What matters in this life? I want you to answer that for yourself right now. What matters in this life? Really. How you have to answer that is you have to think, I'm laying on my deathbed. I'm 99 years old. I am 5 minutes from breathing my last breath. What would matter to you at that moment? Because that's what's really going to be the thing that matters. All these other little things. So what would matter? Those of you all that are older in here today, you know, you've been through some of this. You've looked at life and you go, man, I wish I wouldn't have wasted that time that is out there. I wish I would have done more of this or done more of that. And young people, we would do good to listen to them, to learn and say, you know what? I don't want to do the same thing that they've done in that way. But it doesn't matter how old you are, because you can change your life today. There are many people that have lived 65 years and never knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior for 65 years, but they changed their life at that time, moved on, 80, 90. That doesn't matter. So I know there's so many people in this room right now this morning. You're wasting time. You're wasting time. You're living life like you got 100 years. And we don't. We don't. There's been people in our church that have passed away, you know, in their 50s, 90s. When? I mean, when, and I think I said in that notes, you know, why do we wait? When is the end for you? When is Jesus coming back? We don't know those times. So we have got to change how we live our life, and you've got to change how you live your life today. Today. Not tomorrow. You got to find those things that really matter. And you, in order to do that, you've got to go to the Bible. You can't go to a self-help book. You can't find and say, well, you know, as long as it makes me happy. You can't look at any of those things. What actually matters in this life? And, you know, I've made a commitment in my life, because I have known so many pastors and read about so many people to where they didn't spend the time with their families that they should have. And I make sure that I'm home to eat dinner. I make sure that my kid knows my name. I make sure that I'm praying with him. You know what? Sometimes that means that I can't be everywhere, that I can't be in every place, that I can't be there for you at every time that you're going to need me every time. You can't do those things either in your spheres of influence. You can't make every business meeting. Maybe you need to be home. Maybe you need to rest. Maybe you need to be there with your wife, be there with your husband. Because that relationship is far more important than your job. You can find any job, but you can't always find the right relationship that God has ordained for you to have. And folks, if this is a message that is applicable to every single person sitting in this room, doesn't matter who you are. And I want you to, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me just tell you something. You need to get that fixed immediately. You don't have to get right to get saved. You can't do it anyway. You got to get saved before you can ever hope to get right. All right, and that's a process, because you have a process called salvation, and that's where you do what Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you'll believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, then you will be saved. Okay, that's the part of salvation. That's where you get marked with the promised Holy Spirit, which is a seal, you know, guaranteeing our inheritance. But then there's a process of sanctification, and that's what's not taught in churches a lot. It is a process of holiness. It's a process of you becoming more like Christ, where we put off the things of this world. And there's lists in the Bible. Look at Galatians and all of these Pauline letters where Paul was writing. He gives many lists of things that you can look at to say, you know what, I'm going to cut that out of my life. You know, anger, malice, rage, you know, all those things we've talked about in times before. And cut that out and get, I want you to think, I don't care who you are, I want you to think today and spend some time thinking, if today was my last day, what would I be doing today? How would I live this life differently? Because you would live it with a lot more purpose than you're living it right now, I guarantee you. There'd be a lot more thought put into what you're going to be doing. And that's the way Jesus Christ has asked us to live. He's asked us to live like he was coming back tomorrow. So that means all, that means that coworker that you had, that means that customer that came into the bank the other day that I knew was a Jehovah Witness, but I was straddling the fence on whether I should go up and say something or not. I've made a choice not to, but if I knew that was my last day, I would have been right over there just down, just shaking them to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I figured next time, tomorrow, I would have done that differently had I known that Friday was my last day, that Friday was that person's last day. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? Your nieces, your nephews, whoever. You get my point, right? And Jesus Christ has said, I don't want to be these people in verse 3. This false sense of peace and safety, and then you get shocked. I want to be eagerly awaiting Christ coming. And you're not always going to make people happy. But as long as God's happy, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. He's going to be the only one to stand at your judgment. And if I can say I put you first, that I sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto me. Satan wants to get you wrapped up and to be so busy to be everything to everybody, and you're not effectual for God. And that's not what God's plan is for your life. If you're going through things sometimes, surrender it. Surrender it to God. And please, please, in everything that I'm telling you, I don't know. We've got some people in our church right now that are just going through some horrible things and have been going through some horrible things. And you know, I think about Daryl and things that he's been going through right now. You get to a point where you're tired and you're weary and you're broken. And it just puts things in perspective when you look at it. Don't wait, and I'm not talking about Daryl when I'm saying this. Don't wait, okay, until it's too late for you to be effectual for God and different things are going on. Put Satan in his place right now. You don't have to give him one foothold. He has no power over you. Jesus Christ took all that away from him at the cross. All right? He has no power over your life, yet we give it to him and we waste time. Young people, please, please, please. And I mean young people. I'm not saying how old that is, okay? So anybody in here I can be talking to. We have got to rise up. You've got to rise up. We've got to do better, okay? Absolutely have got to do better. I'm looking at this church, and I'm thinking about the folks that we have lost in the past 6 and 7 years, and we don't have anybody to replace them. You cannot replace the devotion and loyalty and commitment to the Lord of the people that have passed away in our church, the older echelons of those people, because it just seems like they're not being made anymore. But folks, they are. God's using the same mold he's always used. We're just not training up people anymore like we used to. We're not making the right, you know, advances in discipleship like we used to. So young people, I just want you to know, okay? Old people, middle-aged people, whoever you are, everybody, I want you to know this. Today may be our last day. I hadn't been as prepared as I want to be. I hadn't done as many things as I wanted to do. But I've got to make a commitment today that I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. And you know what? If Bank of America gets in the way of serving the Lord, got to go. Got to go. Serving the Lord is number one. And I hope that that's the commitment that you have, because I want to be prepared for the day of the Lord coming. And I really hope you are. We're going to have some prayer. We're going to bless the food. As we go into the fellowship hall again, I invite everybody to come. It's a donation, you know, there. If you absolutely don't have any money, you know, come and eat anyway. But if you can and you have the means to help out the youth in that fundraiser, then come and give a donation there for the food. And we invite everybody to come. Let's have a word of prayer.